Welcome to the family here on Purple Mafia. I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Awajan. Purple Mafia is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. I thank each and every one of you once and always for downloading and listening to the show. It's a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today. Well, you can pretty much wrap things up. It's like the... we can pretty much wrap things up, yes. The Minnesota Vikings play the Green Bay Packers. With possible playoffs on the line, we can control our destiny. Seattle lost, the Rams won, but Seattle lost, you know, a rematch of the Super Bowl many years ago in 2005, and the same result, Pittsburgh winning. Control our destiny, everything's ready to go. Yeah, but we're down like 23-3 or something at the time, and so on and so forth. The Vikings end up losing 33-10 to the Green Bay Packers in a hapless below the whatever, the bottom coming out of the building. Loss to the Green Bay Packers in U.S. Bank Stadium. Yay, Happy New Year. Further proof New Year's is overrated and always has been. And I'm going to say that for the rest of my life because, one number changed at the end of another. Wahoo. It's now 9:53. It's going to be 9:54 in the next few seconds. Woo. Yay, that's exciting. The Vikings still, well, look like a below average to well below average team, injury riddled. This one just felt like lack of effort. It felt like we didn't give the proper effort tonight, like certain bad Timberwolves coaches used to say long back in the day, or whatever. The effort really wasn't there, especially as the game wore on. Do I blame them to a point? Not really. Jaren Hall started. Looks kind of like, I don't know, he looked like Tavares Jackson in his first game. He looked like Christian Ponder in his first game when the Vikings got obliterated by the Packers. So it's pretty much a road to nowhere. Kirk Cousins would be coming back from an Achilles tear. We'll see how much money he might be asking for. Draft pick, we'll see if that works out. Draft picks don't always work out, this and that. So, yeah, everything's all rosy and shiny in Purple Land. Very much so. Now, am I excited about a potential draft pick at the quarterback position? Of course. And am I okay with a Kirk Cousins 1 to 2 year extension to kind of let that young guy learn and get ready to go? Sure. Is Jaren Hall a future backup quarterback in the NFL? Maybe. Will Nick Mullins be back? Unlikely. Any other questions? Anything else? Okay, that should wrap it up. Did the Miami Dolphins get obliterated by Baltimore? Yes. That's flashing on the screen right now. Yeah, it's New Year's Day and all that good stuff. It's the morning, so kind of getting caught up with everything. No, I'm not hungover. I had one beer. Oh, I'm really hungover from one beer. If I am, then I definitely have a problem. But staying up late, not that I wanted to because I couldn't care less. But I don't know. Certain other people force you to do that. So sometimes, depending on their priorities... Yeah, well, anyhow, Jordan Love made the Vikings defense look like last year's defense, and he looked like someone else. I don't know, he looked like Jalen Hurts or something. I don't know, Aaron Rodgers. Name your quarterback that's better than Jordan Love, and that's what he looked like. You got to see a Sean Clifford pass completed for 37 yards as well. It's cute. It's beautiful. That would be one of the running backs of the Green Bay Packers or whatever the heck he is. It's a cute play. No, he's not a running back, but he completed a 37-yard pass. Regardless, he's not a running back. I'm just messing around. Victory formation, all that cute stuff. Bo Melton, 37-yard play. Bo Melton could have had like a billion yards in this game. I feel like Jaden Reed could have had a billion yards as well, if not for incomplete passes and some poor decisions, but just incomplete passes, generally speaking, because Jordan Love isn't that good. But again, our defense made him look like whoever. Again, just name your quarterback. He's not that mobile, is he? Yeah, 7 carries, 27 yards, a little bit. Aaron Jones walked right through the Vikings for the most part. Tackleable football, 6 yards a carry. Ty Chandler did what he could, 4 yards a carry, but the Vikings didn't run the ball very much because we were down the whole game for the most part. Boring as hell early on and then depressing as hell as we moved on. And Christmas season's over, and we have to go back to work soon. So, unless you didn't get any time off at all, but I don't want to go back. Unless you have a great job, yeah, but how many of us really, truly have a great job? Yeah, it's, you know what I mean? Vikings defense was below average at best. Again, below average at best. How many sacks? 0. Green Bay Packers, 4 sacks in the game. We got to see the Packers, like... kind of rub it in our face again. Packer fans, anyway. Packers players, Packer fans, whatever it is. What did Corey Ballantyne? Corey Ballantyne talking stuff to to Justin Jefferson. That's cute and everything. Like, okay. Seventh round rookie, if I'm thinking of the same guy. No, this is a sixth round. This is a different guy. Beatable. I'm looking at the wrong guy, and I apologize. But whatever it was, it was extremely fun. That's what it was. Valentine. Ballantyne and Valentine. Yeah, and he looks like a cocky SOB. Seventh round pick. Get the heck out of here, man. 232 pick. You're going to talk stuff to Jefferson? We're happy for you. That's God. Not that, you know, yeah, you're talking stuff to Jefferson with quarterbacks that are either rookies or interception machines, fumble machines, whatever the heck. Name your backup quarterback of the Vikings, and it's like, oh. Other teams have backup quarterbacks that can you come in. It's like, yes, it's a drop-off from the main guy, but at least he's, you know, competent. We can win a game or two or three. I've had multiple people tell me the Vikings never should have benched Dobbs. Wasn't Dobbs kind of a disaster, too, though? I mean, I don't know. He looked like somebody in gym class just hurling the ball around and it bouncing all over the place. That's what he looked like. Somebody in gym class that maybe should be playing basketball or something. I don't know. Yeah, a great athlete, valedictorian or whatever, but happens to be a great athlete as well. Or he should be playing wide receiver. Or it's nothing personal. It's just is what it is. Or the coaching staff wasn't utilizing his true strengths, just kind of forcing him to pass from the pocket. That's the other thing. When Josh Dobbs was able to utilize his strengths, you know, yes, he can pass the ball a little bit. He's not a terrible quarterback in terms of passing, but when you're forcing him to be something he's not, a pocket passer, that's kind of dumb, especially when he has the athletic ability he does, him again being Josh Dobbs. So it probably should have went that direction. Seeing Kirk Cousins with his shirt off and a Kirko Chains thing going on, blowing the Gallahorn, interesting. At least he's able to stand and everything after that Achilles, but I'm sure he's had enough time to heal a little bit where he can resume semi-normal life, I suppose. But the shirt was off. Interesting. I guess that means he's still got the spirit for the team and everything. Good for him because he's a pending free agent, and we'll have to wait and see where things go there. Are we going to get into off-season conversation today? Nah, but we might as well, but we almost could. We do have a Detroit game coming up. As exciting as that is, I don't know. I guess it's exciting. The Detroit Lions, frustrating loss as well to the Dallas Cowboys. That was really annoying to watch, actually. Super annoying to watch. But at least we'll have more of a normal time and wrap things up and we can move on. And the title of the episode next week will be whatever the final record is, if it's 7-10 or 8-9. A Mike Zimmer-like finish with 8-9 or 7-10, which is like, I don't know, just a down year. Injuries. A down year for just about everybody except for Brian Flores until the season progressed, where I think Brian Flores also dropped off a bit. Or at least his defense did. I don't know. It wasn't as good. And stats that have been brought up by Matt Martin and a few others, but mostly Matt Martin when it came to the fourth quarter, the defense isn't clutch. The defense hasn't been clutch for Brian Flores throughout several, for several years, dating back to 2016, if I remember correctly. Or was it 19? Whatever it was. But back into the teens, anyway. And, it's not been pretty. This game wasn't pretty at all. The defense stunk, looked awful. Obviously, guys are hurt all over the place. T.J. Hockenson, I didn't even get to, I don't think I talked about it, but there was a fear that he, you know, it could be anything. ACL, MCL, wonderful. Absolutely great. He might not be ready for training camp with that one. Wanham, what was it, a torn quad? That sounds extremely painful, and that's, very immobilizing, because that's way up in your leg, of course. Ooh, that's awful. And then Addison with the ankle, but he played, so it looks like he's going to be okay. That's good to know. Ty Chandler, I think he's the best running back on the team, but how much does that mean at the end of the day? Jaren Hall looks like he's light years away from being an NFL quarterback, unfortunately. He looked really good in the opening drive in his first game versus Atlanta, then the stupid concussion, and ever since then, I don't know. He looks a lot more like Ponder or Tavares Jackson in his first game. That's pretty much what he looked like. And I'm so sick of seeing that spoiled son of a gun and who roots for the Chiefs all the time. I just don't want to see her anymore. Ugh. I don't want to see her, and I don't want to see 87 either. I don't want to see 15 anymore. I don't like him either. Ugh.
Yeah, we got this. Miss Piggy, come here. Block for me, okay?
Yeah, that's up. Patrick Mahomes, he really does sound like Kermit the Frog. That was brought up on a different podcast not too long ago, and I was like, yeah, yep. Anyhow, the cornerbacks had a bad game. Akai Blackman got burned quite a bit. Evans, just an overall nasty day. What more is there to say? It is what it is. Injuries everywhere. Am I a negative fan? Yeah, I'm a negative fan. I'm just terrible. Just throw me off the bandwagon. Well, of course. What bandwagon is there? Like, who cares if there's a bandwagon or not? They don't really, right now, they don't deserve a bandwagon. It is what it is. You're sticking with the team. Yeah. Am I still a Vikings fan, so to speak? Yes. But as a podcaster, as an attempting to be objective, if you can do that, if that's possible, you can be an objective fan as a podcaster. It's possible. You don't have to just be a rube and say, rah, rah, oh, everything's going to be fine and, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, there are positives going forward. We have bookends at the tackle position. That's wonderful compared to the past. I mean, we had absolutely nothing there. We had TJ Clemmings, or if you remember correctly. That was a disaster. And Matt Khalil, who was either hurt or didn't give a crap. Bryant McKinney, who was either hurt or didn't give a crap. But when he was good, I guess. But that was a long time ago. You had, what was that guy's name? Pat Elflein, who was awesome until he got hurt. And then he came back and was never the same. We could go on all day. You had this backup guy who was signed. He's a kind of a backup semi-starter. Came here and was not good. One thing after another. So, yes, the offensive line at least has two bookends. Ingram, I have no idea what to think. What's his name? Bradbury last year had a really nice year when he was in a potential contract situation. Yay, and then he hasn't been as good this year, and he's back to being injury prone as well. I don't know, left guard, I have no idea what to think about that one. Do we have a long-term solution there? Nope. Reisner's okay, but he ain't anything special. I think Cleveland was actually a little better. All the PFF grades have been really poor on him, actually. So I'm not sure what to say anymore. Pat Jones did have one of his better games again. He might have been one of the best defensive players for the Vikings in the last 2 weeks. He wound up getting the Target Gen Award last week. He had a great game. He had two quarterback hits, which led the team. Ivan Pace Jr. had the other one. No sacks, but at least he hit the quarterback and was not flagged for anything. So, Metellus, pardon me. That's about the Vikings right now, just coughing and all that. Is Harrison Smith possibly gone? Distinct possibility. Pardon me. I'm trying not to cough to death here with the dump button. Does Danielle Hunter walk? I don't see. Now I'm getting into off-season conversation. Again, it's a little early. We might get into that more next week because it's probably going to be the off-season. The Vikings will have a losing record this year no matter how you look at it. There's no way to shake it. So, I don't know. It's kind of an unreviewable game other than we just got our butts kicked. I don't know. We got our butts kicked. Wasn't a good game. Quarterback position is what it is. You've had four different quarterbacks this year. Dobbs was promising for like a game and a half, and pretty much after that, a huge mess and improperly utilized. Hall was good for a drive, and that in the Atlanta game, and ever since then, Ponderer, Travaris Jackson, Nick Mullins is crazy. He's all over the place. He was slightly better yesterday, but the Vikings were already in desperate situations when he was put in at quarterback in the second half. So, I don't know. I'm guessing, I wouldn't be surprised if he's the quarterback in the final game. Just kind of, you could kind of call it like mop-up duty. Maybe you might even put Josh Dobbs in. What the hell? Because Mr. O'Connell was non-committal at the end of the game. So, I could mean Josh Dobbs again, which would be kind of funny. Could mean. Otherwise, again, it's just mop-up duty. Like some relief pitcher who's got an ERA of like 5-ish. Coming in when you're down like 9-2 against the Yankees or something. And it's like the ninth inning. What the hell? We're already down 9-2. Let's just have him in. They call it mop-up duty. Eighth or ninth inning. We're not going to win the game, most likely. So it's like, he just kind of comes out and to be the pitcher so you don't wear out the other bullpen members. So that's pretty much what Nick Mullins is at this point. Same with Dobbs. Same with Hall. Hall gave up a couple home runs. No, he threw an interception in the game. 5 of 10, 50% quarterback rating of 32.1. His QBR, 1.1. Nick Mullins' QBR, 13.7. Awesome. He did throw a touchdown pass to Johnny Munt, of all people. I mean, that pretty much sums the whole year up. Nick Mullins to Johnny Munt. That pretty much sums up this season, particularly the end of the season. Doesn't it, though? Just think about those two names. Nick Mullins to Johnny Munt. That's pretty much all you need to know. 33-10, it is what it is. It really is what it is. The road to nowhere. The road to nowhere. Hopefully a decent draft pick, and hopefully that player is a quarterback, and if it isn't, okay, I guess Kirko changed for sure, and then what's next? Because Kirko changed ain't getting any younger. Looks like a healthy guy, doesn't he? But with the shirt off, but again, I don't know, man. It's not going to last forever. He's just not. Jaren Hall also had a fumble loss, so that's multiple turnovers. Najee Thompson recovered a fumble. We actually had a forced fumble in the game, which was absolutely wonderful. That'd be on Samari Toure, so to speak, and the Carl Brooks recovered the Jaren Hall fumble for the Green Bay Slackers, who are now 8-8. That's an absolutely awesome record. No, they're knocking on the wild card door. The Vikings possibly could still make it with a million things going wrong for other teams and the Vikings winning against Detroit, but we're not going to. Spoiler alert, we're not going to. Do you really think this team's going to win next week? Oh, what a negative person. Whatever, I'm turning the show off. Bye. I mean, I'm sorry. Bye, I guess. With that said, Fran Tarkington Award winner for this episode? I don't know. I don't know. Pat Jones II, I guess. I don't know. Justin Jefferson, just because he's so great. But I don't know. It's not his fault that he was targeted 10 times and only had 5 catches. I don't think there is a Fran Tarkington Award winner for this episode. Is it Nick Mullins? Is it Nick Mullins because he completed more than 50% of his passes and didn't turn the ball over? Is it Nick Mullins? Or is it the punter? Let's see. Let's check that out quick. Special teams. Nwangwu, well, he was actually pretty good. 27.7 and he had a 47-yard return. Brandon Powell, well, punt returns are what they are. You're going to get like 2 yards if you're lucky. Greg Joseph made a 54-yard kick. Huh. And Ryan Wright averaged 51.3. Well, special teams, you win. Special teams win. Ryan Wright had a 68-yard punt. You know what, special teams? I'm going to pass it out to 3 guys on special teams. What do you think of that? Kenny Nwangwu, you returned 6 kick returns because they scored 6 times in the game. Average 27.7, a 47 long. That's pretty good, Kenny Nwangwu. Powell, I'm sorry, you're going to, well, you'll get a participation award because, you know, for like the group. Greg Joseph making a 54-yarder. Well, it's about dang time, and you made the extra point, too. In a different position, and Ryan Wright with a 51.3 average, though he did have a touchback. Oh, that's minus points. So I guess it's between Greg Joseph and Nwangwu. Oh, you had a touchback, Ryan. Dang it. Okay, you'll still get it. So 3 guys are going to get it. Kenny Nwangwu, Greg Joseph, and Ryan Wright. Special teams, folks, were special. Funny how they're special now. Why can't you guys be special more often? Well, Ryan Wright's usually been pretty good. I think he should be a punter for a long time. Greg Joseph, well, sometimes he's good, sometimes he isn't. And Nwangwu, probably his best game of the year. There's your Tarkington. The Christian Ponder Memorial, I don't know, Viking secondary getting torched by Jordan Love, Mekhi Blackmon, guys like that, Evans. Yeah, it's depressing. Absolutely depressing. Guys like that, I guess, are going to have to bring it in. Yeah, Evans and Blackmon getting torched by your friend, Jordan Love. Yeah, even despite the fact he's not that good of a quarterback, he missed a lot of opportunities in the game. Still wound up with a good quarterback rating because of 3 touchdown passes and no interceptions. So that wraps up the game review. Wahoo. With that, we'll take a quick break and we're going to look at the NFL and preview next week's game. And we are back here on Purple Mafia, segment number two. Time to preview the Detroit game. Well, at least we'll wrap up the segment with that. The NFC North, all that cute stuff. The NFC North Division Champion Detroit Lions in Detroit. And obviously the rest of the NFL, looking at it right now, you got Miami and Baltimore. Yeah, well, definitely playoff implications there. Baltimore and San Francisco, a potential Harbaugh Bowl rematch without both Harbaughs being there. Just John. Tampa. Baltimore is 13-3. San Francisco, 12-4. So we'll see how that turns out. Baltimore was 14-2 a few years ago, and remember how that turned out. So don't get overly optimistic on Baltimore, though. They do look more dangerous this year than previously. They definitely do. So we're going to look at the full scoreboard here, including, again, Detroit. Miami 11-5 despite the loss. That's kind of crazy. Thursday night football, Jets and Browns. Jets and Browns, December the 28th, as we're getting into this not as fun time of year now. Oh, well, January's fun, though. Because, yeah, January's fun for football fans, of course. But it's just the, you know, sad to see Christmas go. But I guess, again, spring is around the corner. And, of course, playoff football is absolutely around the corner. So there's a positive there. Speaking of positives, Cleveland Browns fans, you must be elated considering what's taken place. who would have thunk of all people, Joe Flacco coming back, you know, after being basically just kind of like left in the NFL scrap heap and being what he has been. What a story. Comeback player of the year as far as I'm concerned. And it's against the Jets, but they have a good defense, don't they? Trevor Siemian at quarterback of the Jets. Again, 45 attempts for Trevor Siemian. That's not going to turn out too great. Usually against Cleveland's defense, which is pretty good as well. These are actually two good defensive teams, 37-20. Okay, 261 yards, an interception, and a touchdown. But Joe Flacco, despite the stupid grape jelly stain on his shirt with that interception, three touchdowns, 309 yards passing, 100, you know, just great story. Cleveland is 11-5 with another game. They could have 12 wins this year. Who would have thunk it? So that's you know, when you look at the Cleveland Browns, that could have been us. That could have been us. What if we signed Joe Flacco? What if we signed Joe Flacco? And imagine if Kirko Chains was healthy. That also could have been us. If Kirko Chains never got hurt, maybe the Vikings lose one game or something along the way, possibly yesterday, regardless. Who knows? But I do think the morale of the Minnesota Vikings would have been completely different. Say, even just with even as simple as a win versus Detroit, much less the stupid fumble game against Denver, the what the hell happened to us against the Bears. We could go on all day. We could go on all day with the ridiculous losses. We could go on all day. But Cleveland, what a story. And again, that could have been us. Could have been the Vikings and the Browns in the Super Bowl. Maybe the Browns do go to the Super Bowl. Maybe Flacco knocks the Baltimore Ravens out. Will I be cheering for the Browns versus the Ravens? You betcha. You betcha. Brown Bowl it is. If there's a Brown Bowl in the postseason, and there's possibility of that, of course it is, depending on the seeding and such. Cleveland, man, go Browns. Go Browns. Go Vince Germano. I'm guessing you like Joe Flacco, the other guy that was signed, you know, and paid all that money. Hell with them, man. I wish they could get rid of him and then keep Flacco, but I don't know. Flacco's ancient, though. It's one of those miracle years. It's like Randall Cunningham. That's kind of what it is. Randall Cunningham, his last few years in Philly, not so good. Comes back, you know, out of nowhere. 97, he actually helped the Vikings win a playoff game, if I remember correctly, versus the New York Giants, the Miracle in the Meadowlands. But he wasn't the main reason, necessarily. Some lucky bounces of the ball. And then the next year, the Vikings go 15-1 and blah, 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 after Brad Johnson breaks his ankle and then breaks his finger. Son of a gun. It's crazy. Weird year, but now we don't need to go back in 98. I just don't want to. I don't go there anymore. I just don't. I just don't for so many reasons. David Njoku, 134 yards. That's a new one for me. Nice. Very impressive. Elijah Moore with a touchdown on 61 yards, pardon me. Cleveland looking wonderful. Kareem Hunt was only targeted once, but did run for 31 yards and did get into the end zone. Jerome Ford ran for 64. Much more impressive numbers overall. Flacco did fumble twice and recovered one of them. Didn't lose any, so interesting. Luckily, Flacco only one official turnover in the game, but hang on to the ball, buddy. If that's a playoff game, against Baltimore, watch out, or anybody else, basically. Clevelandville, very impressive. I've spent too much time on this, but very impressive. They're 11-5 with another game. They could win 12 games this year. What a story, huh? What a story. Saturday night football, Lions and Cowboys, can't get into that. That's the last one, so I guess we're just going to plow through the rest of them. AFC East matchup. This used to be a really interesting matchup, particularly when a guy named Tom Brady was quarterback of the Patriots, but now it's Bailey Zapp, who zapped the Patriots to a 4-12 record, despite the Patriots hanging in there for the most part against the Bills. But that's divisional football for you. 27-21, the Bills. Another decent story considering how they dropped off the face of the earth at one point. They are now 10-6. They are definitely, you know, a playoff-level team. They might be playing Miami in the first round, a rematch of that AFC Championship game many years ago. And Baltimore might win that one. Or Baltimore. Did I say Baltimore or Buffalo? Bailey Zapp with 3 interceptions, so he did throw over 200 yards. Josh Allen also an interception. No touchdown passes. But Josh Allen ran the ball in twice, so maybe he helped you win a fantasy game despite the mediocre to below average passing game. Because yesterday... this weekend was possibly the Super Bowl for some of you. The previous weekend might have been the Super Bowl for others. Not sure how that works. Stephon Diggs, only 4 catches, 26 yards. You can just imagine a little bit of stuff going on there. But whatever it is, they've definitely got things back together for the most part. Multiple fumbles in the game, but fumbles all over the place. Buffalo recovered 2 of their own fumbles and also a Pharaoh Brown fumble for the New England Patriots. Let's move on. Good story, though, for Buffalo getting kind of back in the swing of things, so to speak. Oh, boy. Till we get to the Baltimore-Miami game, I guess we'll get to that now. Definitely playoff implications. You suck. Shut up. You think I like that music? I don't. I just seriously don't. Lamar Jackson, perfect quarterback rating on only 21 passes, 321 yards, 5 touchdowns. Like one of those Culpepper games years ago against a Dallas team. I remember that. 5 touchdowns. Perfect quarterback rating, 158.3. Tua with a couple of INTs. Definitely not nearly the same. And Miami absolutely obliterated. And despite the loss, again, 11-5. A very gaudy record for the Miami Dolphins. But they've had a couple of stinkers, and this was one of them. We'll see how they do against possibly Buffalo in the first round. But we'll see what next weekend does. It might, who knows? It might rearrange everything. Like a Rubik's Cube, which the NFL playoff positioning can be in the last couple of weeks. 56-19, absolute obliteration. Baltimore is number one on every ranking there is right now. They are the Alabama Roll Tide or whatever. You know, I'm just making that up. But, well, yeah, what Roll Tide often was, that's kind of what they are. And yes, my pastor yesterday said Roll Tide. He said, sorry, Michigan fans, Roll Tide. So, yeah, I don't pay attention as much to college football as I should because, well, I do an NFL Minnesota Vikings podcast. So do you think I'm going to spend my Saturdays watching football? No, I'm not going to spend my whole weekend doing that, regardless if I care about the draft or not. I mean, that research comes when there's no football, right? In the late winter, early spring. Yeah, that's when there's no football. Then you have time to do some research. Some of us are different, though. Some of us need a little bit of free time or time to have to go make a living as well. Gus Edwards, a touchdown. Zay Flowers, 106 yards. Justice Hill, touchdown. Isaiah Likely was likely in the end zone twice with 2 catches and 2 touchdowns. We all know what a certain coach said about Chris Carter years ago, Buddy Ryan. Yeah, well, not all of us, but us old-timers. Patrick Ricard, he got a touchdown on one. He did. Touchdown on one catch. You may think of like Patrick Stewart and Captain Picard. Yeah, it would be like Patrick Picard, right? That'd be funny. Great tackling by the Vikings. Secondary and linebackers and all that too as well on the Reed touchdown. That was, Ed Donatell, you still there? wide open in the end zone. Yep, that's cute and everything. Just absolutely cute. Kirk Cousins, yep, there. What's the champagne for? Okay, yeah, it's New Year's. Who cares? Who cares? Humbug, baby. That's all I got to say about that. Sorry, that was a distraction, sort of. But Baltimore's the number one seed in the AFC. Let's move on. Don't need to rub it into the Dolphins. I kind of like the Dolphins, dang it. Indianapolis versus Vegas. Anyhow, Indiana, Vegas is just like us. Shut the hell up. Sorry, I gotta do something here. Clickety clickety. Shut up. Okay, Aiden O'Connell was. Yep, I don't know. We don't need any more jokes, do we? Aiden O'Connell, 2 touchdowns versus the Colts. Gardner Minshew, a little bit better, higher performer, so to speak, more accurate. Aiden O'Connell did attempt 47 passes. The Raiders tried to steal it from the Colts. So the Colts are 9-7 now. Weirdest team ever. And another team that, you know, that could have been us. Yeah, with a backup quarterback. I mean, Gardner Minshew is probably better than anybody we have. O'Connell, no. I don't know. He's about the same. He'd fit right in, probably. Maybe less turnovers. Maybe. Jonathan Taylor getting paid billions of dollars, but good for him because running backs don't last long. 96 yards and a touchdown. Good for him. Alec Pierce with a 58-yard catch and touchdown, and that's all he needed for that day. At least that's how they saw it. And there you go. That was the touchdown and all that. So no turnovers by the no fumbles lost. Yeah, no fumbles by Vegas at all. So no turnovers in the game. That's good. So at least it was an efficient game, so to speak. But backup versus backup, and that's the theme of this year, 2023. In hindsight, it's like, well, we're ringing in the new year and all that good stuff, which sounds so cute. It's the year of the backup everywhere, except like Baltimore. I mean, San Francisco, obviously, Purdy is already established, even though he was a miracle backup last year. He's established, and they're still good and all that good stuff. Baltimore healthy, good for him. We'll keep going. But, yeah, this game right here, you know, Garoppolo has been out since, you know, 1984. And Indianapolis Colts, we got to see Jason Richardson play like 4 games so far in his career. So it is what it is. Shoulder injury. Sucks. Jacksonville, another team that we don't know. I don't know who they are. The Jekyll and Hyde. The Jekyll and Hyde is more like it. And obviously injuries as well. The year of the backup. Carolina Panthers, Bryce Young looking for that number one pick. They're winless on the road. 0-9, 2-14 on the season. And looking for another number one pick in the draft to help out Bryce Young or replace Bryce Young. But now Bryce Young still has a chance, I think, to be something. Adam Thielen was pretty confident in those Carolina Hurricanes or Carolina Panthers or Carolina Tiny Cats. I don't know. With Amir Smith-Marset, well, he led the team in catches with 38 yards. 38. It's awesome. Sorry. Travis Etienne Jr., I haven't talked about him in a while, 102 yards and 2 touchdowns. Maybe he won somebody a Super Bowl. I mean, that would definitely help, especially if he's your second or third guy. C.J. Beathard, the former 49er, about what you expect, but the Jaguars find a way to get 26 points in the game because their defense played very well. Neither team fumbled. No, just one interception by Bryce Young, but that's how that goes. No defensive touchdowns for Jacksonville, but 3 sacks for Josh Allen. Yep, the other Josh Allen, who hits a home run when he sacks people. Trevon Walker with 2. 6 total sacks for the Jags. And they are 9-7 and, you know, hanging on and all that good stuff. The Oiler Bowl, Houston hosting the Tennessee Titans, and they sweep the Tennessee Titans. Congratulations, because I know they played earlier this year. It's the Oiler Bowl, just like you get the Brown Bowl twice a year, and you might get a third Brown Bowl in the playoffs. C.J. Stroud, the better rookie so far. Not bad. Will Levis injured in the game, and he was carted away, and he wasn't too happy. Ryan Tannehill was, I don't know, he was efficient, 16-20. That's kind of Ryan Tannehill, but no touchdowns. And Tennessee mounting only 3 points. We'll see what happens there. In Tennessee, what kind of changes they're going to be making, because that team is done, boy. they're in worse shape. They're in a lot worse shape than the Vikings. And I'm not sure what they're going to do at quarterback, and they've missed twice, possibly. I don't know. Well, Levis fell to them, so what am I talking about? C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans, way better than last year, and knocking on the door of the postseason at 9-7. Congratulations, Houston. Houston Texans. Why can't one of these teams be the Oilers? I'm gonna say that forever until they wise up and become the Oilers. Just be the Oilers again, dang it. Texans. Ugh, so lame. Lame. Kind of a cool logo, but is it, though? It's okay. Yeah, it's got the Texas flag, and it's a bullhead, and I don't know. Are they the Longhorns or an NFL team? I don't know. Who cares, right? Giants and Rams. No, the Rams win by 1 point, and they're knocking on the... There's a 19-9-7 teams now. They're knocking on the door of the playoffs, and they're probably going to make it. Stafford wasn't even good in the game, and Tyrod Taylor was the quarterback instead of the other guy that we all have grown to love, DeVito. yeah, I don't know what to say. One touchdown, one interception. Stafford with two interceptions. Meh. You know, it wasn't a very good football game. Two kind of meh teams playing against each other. And it was in New York, so maybe that's why the Giants were able to muck it up a bit in that colder weather and such. The L.A. defense with six sacks in the game. 2.5 by Kobe Turner. And also, yeah, there were a couple of fumbles, but I don't know. Who cares? We don't need to get into that kind of detail too much. Puka Nacua with 5 catches, 118 yards. And Darius Slayton with 106 yards for the Giants. But the Rams win and are knocking on the door of the playoffs. They were dog bookie several weeks ago. Now they're in the playoffs. So stories all over the league of teams that kind of recovered from either injuries or just horrible starts. And Vikings should have been one of them and aren't. And I'm going to keep saying that all year and into the offseason because Vikings should have been one of them. And they just weren't. Seriously, Eagles and Cardinals? What the heck? The Eagles lost to the Cardinals in Philadelphia. Well, geez, that's interesting. The Eagles lost to the Cardinals. 11-5. 35-31. Kyler Murray actually woke up a little bit, put the controller down, except for one play with an interception, but 116 quarterback rating. Jalen Hurts had a pretty good game as well. Neither quarterback threw for crazy numbers necessarily for yardage, but they both threw 3 touchdowns. So, nice performance, generally speaking. James Conner was definitely a difference maker for Arizona. Where'd he come from? 5 yards a carry, 128 yards, got in the end zone. Greg Dortch with the 82 yards, no touchdowns. A.J. Brown with 53, but 2 touchdown catches for Julio Jones of Philadelphia. Interesting. And Dallas Goedert also, but Philadelphia, a disappointing loss at home, 11-5 on the season. Arizona showed up to play. One of those weird games where maybe you could have had a higher draft pick, but Kyler Murray said, no, I'm the quarterback, dang it. 4-12 on the season. Arizona could have been 3-13, but now they're 4-12 with a very rare road win. Their second of the season for the Arizona Cardinals. Impressive win, actually, despite what the heck for, I guess. But I guess every team has a cute win like that during the course of the season. Saints and Bucks, a NFC South showdown. That's what it's called, right? The NFC South. Another disappointing loss here for the home team. The Buccaneers' chance to really be knocking on the door of the playoffs and they lose to the Saints? Come on. What is that? Baker Mayfield. A couple of interceptions. Yeah, that's why Cleveland was so disappointing every year. Baker bleeping Mayfield. what can you say? Derek Carr did not throw an interception. Good for him. 2 touchdowns, so on and so forth. 23-13 win in Tampa. Very impressive. The Saints staying alive. Ha ha, staying alive. I know that's boring, but they are. Buccaneers, generally speaking, just a disappointing performance. And they were losing the whole game. The whole game. So Baker Mayfield, obviously, again, kind of desperate, and that's reason for at least one of the interceptions. A 13-point fourth quarter for the Bucs as they were getting beat the whole way. New Orleans just outplayed them, plain and simple. The Saints' defense is good because, again, Allen, the coach, was the defensive coordinator during those days of, Sean Payton, at least the later stages, the later years of Sean Payton. Allen is the head coach now, and I think he's okay. I like Allen. There's nothing really to dislike about him. He's not Sean Payton's obnoxious butt. So we'll keep moving. So impressive win for the Saints. Super disappointing for the Schmucks as they lose an important loss there. 49ers and Commanders. The Niners clinch home field advantage throughout the NFC side as a potential Harbaugh Bowl could possibly be looming. Washington Commanders could be many changes, of course. Scoring only 10 points against a pretty good Niners team. Niners recover after a very disappointing loss to a insanely good Baltimore team last week. 27-10 victory for the San Francisco 49ers in a fairly easy game, I'd have to say. Sam Darnold, victory formation, all that cute stuff. 2 touchdowns for Purdy with no INTs. Sam Howell only threw 2 interceptions in this game. That's like 5 the other week or something. It was pathetic. Yeah, but that's all you got to say there. Just a comfortable win for the 49ers against an awful team. And yeah, good luck to the Commanders. We'll see if they have a new name again, or the old new name returns. Oh my goodness. Yep, this is the one that kept Viking fans' hopes alive, but it was kind of too little too late anyway. Seahawks and Pittsburgh Steelers. Yep, I think there's so many games because of bye weeks are over now, so it's too late in the year for bye weeks. The Steelers were pretty much winning most of the way anyway. Seattle did have a really good second quarter, but Pittsburgh just kind of hung on the rest of the way, 30-23 over the Seahawks. And the Steelers are another one of those weird teams, and again, backup quarterbacks. Geno Smith did start in this game, so a very disappointing loss for Seattle at home against a Pittsburgh team that I don't know who the hell they are. Najee Harris was outstanding, though. Mr. Whoever, Mean Joe Green. No, I don't know. He was good. He's not a defensive tackle or anything, or defensive end. 112 yards, 2 touchdowns for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Mason Rudolph didn't make mistakes, really. You know, he was just a nice, solid game manager and got the job done. No touchdowns, no INTs. Pickens, George Pickens, with 7 catches and 131 yards. But again, no TDs in that case. Seattle just kind of, I don't know, they got outperformed. They got beat. Another disappointing home loss. That's 3 mentioned so far during the course of this week. That's at least 3 right there. Vikings losing at home. Yeah, it's like, I don't know, kind of not overly surprising, sadly. Cowboys should have had a disappointing loss, but they didn't. That's next week's opponent. Oh, God, that was bad. Oh, that was bleeping wrong. Yep, I can see the, I can read their lips. Yeah. I feel bad. Chargers, Broncos. I don't think Russell Wilson's going to be our future quarterback. He was, of course, benched for this game. They said, yeah, I mean, yeah, he's just been, I don't know, floating around. It's disappointing. Easton Stick, quarterback for the Chargers. Maybe Jim Harbaugh's next team. We'll see, because he is looking, sniffing around the NFL now. Probably won't be coach of Michigan after this season, after the playoff, whatever the heck it is. Jared Stidham, with a touchdown for Denver, whoever that is, but you know what I mean? It's better than spending $1 billion on Russell Wilson, because, whatever, you know what I mean? Sucks. waste of money, huge mistake. Denver, 16-9, I don't know. And they're 8-8, they're hanging on for dear life, but the AFC is definitely better than the NFC, so I don't know. I don't think anybody's rooting for Denver to make the playoffs for so many reasons. But feeling bad for Russell Wilson is not one of the reasons that, and ripping Sean Payton necessarily for that move. Chiefs and Bengals, yeah, of course. Frickin' Bengals. Frickin' Chiefs. Ugh, God. Ugh. Patrick Mahomes missed on a few plays like any human being quarterback would do, but he certainly didn't dominate. But the Chiefs end up getting to 10-6, which is, you know, I don't know, I can't stand him. I think I made my point in a friend of this show and friend of mine made fun of me about it a little bit in the fan interaction segment that's coming. Jake Browning was below average for the most part, threw a touchdown, at least didn't throw a bunch of INTs like last week. But I don't know, Cincinnati, you know, they had their opportunities and they just didn't capitalize, and Kansas City started kind of chipping away, making field goals. Ugh, and it was annoying, but what are you going to do? Just didn't work out. Basically, Buckner with 6 field goals in the game, including a 54-yarder. He made all of them. So if he happened to be your fantasy kicker in the Super Bowl, congratulations. You're probably holding the hardware at this stage. Probably only 1 punt by the Chiefs in this game, again, which Cincinnati's defense was not that good. The Chiefs continued to get at least in field goal range throughout the game. Frickin' Mahomes and his nickel and dime bullcrap, you know, despite, you know, yeah, that's kind of what they ended up relying on, or a few big chunk plays as well. Rashid Rice with that huge 67-yard catch, which was depressing. Justin Watson with a 41-yard. So he wasn't really nickel and diming. It's just that the Cincinnati defense kept him out of the end zone, at least. That's great, the red zone defense and all that. But, I don't know. It's annoying. Pacheco is an obnoxious guy, too. 130 yards, 7.2 a carry. Just Cincinnati just kept letting Kansas City get in scoring range, and they scored. It's that simple. So we'll keep moving. We're almost wrapped up with this segment. A lot of games, so it's like, that's why it's like, oh, man, this is a lot. I think we're down to the Bears now, finally. So we're finally in the NFC North. The Bears have the same record as the Vikings. Aren't you excited? Which might put us pretty much in last place now because of, we beat them by a little bit and they beat us by a little bit. Two ugly football games between the Bears and the Vikings this year. Bears win 37-17 over Taylor Heinicke and the Atlanta Falcons. Heinicke with three INTs. Desmond Ridder with an interception. Four interceptions by the Falcons. Justin Fields at least threw for a touchdown and did not turn the ball over. Also ran for 45 and ran the ball in. I don't know, maybe he was an emergency starter for someone out there. DJ Moore would be a wonderful guy for a fantasy Super Bowl in this game. 159 yards and a TD. They're like, you've got to be kidding me, but Atlanta's not that good. They made Josh Dobbs look like Michael Vick in his prime. Let's not forget, Gervon Dexter Sr. with a sack and a half for the Bears. Watch out for the Bears next year. You know, Montez Sweat's obviously a wonderful player. He had a quarterback hit, but not much of a great game for him necessarily. But watch out for the Bears next year. They actually might be semi-dangerous. They might be. They're putting pieces together. We'll see what they do in the draft and see who they sign in the offseason and trades and such. But they're putting together something. They're kind of building somewhat of an identity in Chicago. You're probably laughing at me and shaking your head right now as I'm saying it. But I don't know. They were better this year than people thought. Like last year, they were putrid and we won easily. But it was also playing like some 10th string quarterback, basically, last year in the season finale when we got to win our 13th game. Oh, that felt like a bloated record in hindsight, doesn't it? Winning by like small margins versus some mediocre teams last year made us look better than we were, I think. But the Bears, hanging on, and Vikings might end up in last place this year, which is pretty weird. Who'd have thunk it? But I suppose injuries to your starting quarterback are going to do that. Definitely playoff implications. Detroit Lions, Dallas Cowboys, and all that cute stuff. Detroit Lions. So, the Cowboys and the Eagles are, like, right there now. So, we're going to have a division championship on the line for Dallas and Philadelphia next week. Detroit has their division title wrapped up, kind of like we did last year. Jared Goff was disappointing, though. Disappointing. One touchdown, two interceptions in the game, but also that low pass on the third attempt at the two-point conversion ended up screwing them over. I do think the Lions, though, were screwed over in the initial two-point conversion that would have won the game. The guy did, come on. They reported in, the refs literally reported in the wrong guy, number 70 versus number 68 who caught the ball, and that was extremely disappointing. And between the two linemen, obviously a trick play. Dan Campbell, probably a little too gutsy here, but he also figured, what have I got to lose other than possibly a home field advantage in the postseason here? Because they could have been possibly a number two seed, especially with the way Philadelphia's fallen off the face of the earth. But losing to the Cowboys in this game, not going to help. I mean, this is a very important win. This would have buried Dallas's chances of having any type of home field, most likely. But Detroit would have had any tiebreaker on them, quite possible, and there wouldn't have been a tie anymore. It would have been a two-game lead. Instead, you end up being at a tie in Dallas with the tiebreaker. Sucks, man. It's just, So Dan Campbell attempting a two-point conversion on three consecutive plays, I don't know, maybe not the best choices at the end of the day. It's cool to be aggressive. That's why the team loves him. The Cowboys finished 8-0 at home. They're below average on the road. So with that said, hopefully the Cowboys start off on the road. And maybe if it's Detroit again, they kick their butts. Detroit's last playoff win was against the Dallas Cowboys. That's right. Second round, division round in 1991, which put them in the NFC title game and got annihilated by the future world champion Washington Redskins that year as they would head to the Metrodome and beat the Bills comfortably in that game. Back then, Detroit did look like a threatening team. Rodney Peete at quarterback. Deion Sanders at running back, Chris Spielman, linebacker, captain, and all that. Awesome team, honestly. It was a really good football team, but very quickly they dropped off the face of the earth with a 5-11 record in 92, with the Vikings win the division in surprising fashion. So we're not going to get as deep into history. That was kind of like history conversation there. Obviously, too many games reviewed already, and I don't know, we just played these guys, and they beat us by a little bit, and Mullins threw 19 interceptions. We're probably not going to, with that said, we're probably not going to put Mullins against Detroit because they embarrassed him and made him look like a moron. If we put Mullins there, it's probably just like, what the hell? Let's just finish 7-10 and get a higher draft pick. Go ahead and try, see what happens. If you win, so be it, but whatever. That kind of tanking. Yeah, Goff definitely let the Lions down, though. We'll see. I mean, Goff hasn't been a great playoff performer throughout his career, and that was kind of a playoff game. It was like a pre-playoff game, honestly. Detroit should have won the game. Detroit should have won the game. There's not a whole lot to preview here because we're going to have a below-average quarterback. Detroit should be focused, laser-focused. They need to win, basically, and we don't kind of type of thing. It's like we do, yes, we want to make the playoffs, but we're not going to beat Detroit, are we? In Detroit, that'd be quite shocking. I think the Lions pull out the brooms and sweep the Vikings, finish 12-5 on the season. Jared Goff should be more focused. But then again, I don't know. I don't know after that Dallas game. That was super disappointing. Dallas' defense is good, to be fair, though. They probably had him flustered a little bit. They only did muster 19 points, after all, with all that talent. I feel bad for Dan Campbell. Man, that must have... That must have really... No bleeping way. Yep. Oh, I'm sorry, Dan. You know, believe me, I was rooting for you. I was. Ooh, I wouldn't want to get on his bad side. Ooh, boy. Talk about kneecapping. He could do it with his fists. It would hurt like hell to punch somebody in the knee, but he could. Anyhow, the Detroit Lions win over the Vikings. I think it's going to be kind of similar to yesterday. It's not going to be, maybe not as bad. It's not going to be fire the coach bad like yesterday kind of was. Like, imagine if Kevin O'Connell was on the hot seat. Yeah, like he'd been here 5 years and it had been disappointing. He would have probably been, you know, he would have been coaching his last game next week or even yesterday. Maybe you bring in the interim for 1 week and wrap things up. But that's how bad yesterday was. And no, I'm not saying fire Kevin O'Connell, but just imagine if that was like a starting quarterback for the Vikings there and O'Connell had just been super disappointing. It was that kind of game. So I think Detroit wins something along the likes of 28 to 21. Detroit wins by a touchdown. Vikings perform a little bit, but nothing spectacular. The Detroit Lions win the football game with that said. Now we'll take a quick break and we're going to hear from Matt Martin telling us Happy New Year.
Happy holidays, Joey and everybody. I hope you've all had a pleasant time. So, Christmas Eve, and there we were, hoping that perhaps Nick Mullins, a.k.a. St. Nicholas, was going to bring us some presents and perhaps a bit of enjoyment. He certainly delivered on the let's give you lots of lovely turnover presents, because he was truly a turnover machine, throwing into double coverage, even triple coverage at times. Brutal watching that guy play, because you just expected something pretty bad every time. Add to that the injuries. That was pretty depressing as well. You know, the defense has been totally hammered in the sense that what talent we had has diminished greatly over the course of the season. So in some respects, I'm not surprised that the yardage has gone up against our defense, sadly. I did feel a little deflated over after that, and I was kind of like, well, I don't know why, because, okay, maybe if we had beaten Detroit, we might have had the opportunity to make the playoffs. But ultimately, as we know, I doubt the team would have gone particularly far, if anywhere. Thinking about that, yeah, I think I kind of know why I felt deflated, because you look at the Lions, and they are a legitimate team now. You look back to that trade with the Rams and it's suddenly looking genius. And they have a very competent GM in Brad Holmes as well, who has done some fine drafting, certainly on the offensive side of the ball. They've got some weapons there. And if they have another very good draft, they're probably two or three defensive pieces away from being close to the best team in the NFC. So that's quite a depressing prospect, knowing that the Lions potentially are going to be a tough act to beat over the next half a decade. Because again, you look at their QB, and he was given the protection, is a very, very, very good quarterback. And then you look at the rest of our division. You've got us, who've gone on a yet another competitive rebuild, which will no doubt bring us back to mediocrity and 8 or 9 wins a season. And you've got the Bears, who took the different approach of obviously just blowing it all up last season, but were able to utilise their draft position and gain substantial picks. This year, it looks like they're going to get the number one pick, and obviously they could well draft inside the top 10 as well. So that team could be on a fast turnaround, and if they nail the quarterback position, we are going to be in a very, very tough division for a few years to come. And if we don't solve the riddle at quarterback, I think we're going to be chasing their tails. And perhaps making the playoffs could be very, very tough for a few years. I certainly hope not. I hope that they do solve the issues, because we, as I've said, we have the foundations. We just need to build on those, and we have to put our trust in Kwasi in the next draft to perhaps find that quarterback. I just hope to God they don't decide, oh, we need Cousins back for another couple of years on a stupid contract that will cripple us from building around the players we've got. Anyway, that's it. It's a nice short one this time. Happy New Year when it comes, Joey, and everybody. Skull brothers and sisters. And let's look forward to this, for us over here, New Year's Day game. You, the last game of 2023. I don't know. I don't know if I'm bothered if they beat the Pack or not, which is almost sacrilege. But there is a potential now, looking at where we stand and results, we could be drafting top 7. So I guess you have to view the pros and cons of that. Right, bye for now.
And I thank you so much for that call in, Dave Martin, Mad Martin out of Northern Scotland. Yep, obviously, yep, lots of good points there. And, of course, frustration. St. Nicholas, that's pretty perfect. St. Nicholas, was he going to either bring us a bunch of presents with a nice win versus Detroit or be giving to Detroit? And he definitely gave to Detroit. Luckily, he did not give to the Packers, but it was too little too late at that point. The damage was done. The defense wasn't good. It's like, I don't know. There definitely was a bit of probably like a screw it kind of attitude, I think, with some of the players. That's probably what happened. Also, again, the Packers obviously laser focused trying to make their postseason, but I don't know. I mean, it's like both teams wanted to win the game, I'm sure, but one of them showed up prepared to play, the other kind of didn't for the most part. Does that come on the, does that fall on the coaches a bit? Yes, aye, laddie, it does, no doubt about it. So, yeah, Happy New Year to you also, Dave Martin. Really appreciate you calling in all year. It's been absolutely fantastic, and hope to hear from you more and more. Of course, again, after the season finale and such, and your thoughts into the draft, free agency, and all that cool stuff. There's definitely going to be changes. Just like last year, there were quite a few changes from a team that was, 13-4 last year, because the defense was so bad last year. There were a number of guys gone, and every season there's a number of guys gone for whatever reason. You just kind of buy them out, or you know, not buy them out, but yeah, you end up releasing them. Cap hit or not, you end up releasing certain players, trading them away, or this and that type of situation, moving on from guys, letting them go via free agency, which could happen with Harrison Smith. So, no, thank you so much again for that call. And Detroit does look like a threat for the next 5 years or so. So it could be Vikings versus Detroit if the Vikings do return to a winning record next year. The whole Kirk situation, yeah, it is a tough situation. I definitely don't want him back on a huge, huge contract. It would have to be a small amount type of thing. Phil Mackey brought up something like get him to the level. Maybe he's like the 17th highest paid quarterback. 2-year deal. The first year is guaranteed. The next year is not. That type of thing. And if he says no, then goodbye. You know, that type of thing. Like, I'm done. So that could be the situation. Only because Kirk Cousins goes from, you know, like starting quarterback, main quarterback type of thing to potential bridge quarterback. Apologize. Had to dump my cough there. I apologize. But no, definitely a situation there at the quarterback position. It's, well, there's definitely no solution on the current roster that's active. There's no active solution on the Minnesota Vikings at this stage. So that's definitely a conversation there that can go on forever. Huge disappointment overall. This team could have been so much more. Hang on to the ball here. Don't throw 19 interceptions there. This and that. I don't know. Don't get penalized with this. I could go on all day. And somebody else, certain players don't get injured, but they did. You know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's been a year of injuries, disappointment, generally speaking, and the year of the backup, the year of the injury, which is one and the same, year of the backup. There's a backup quarterback or backup this, backup that because of injuries. So, no, great call in. Dave Martin, we're going to also hear from him on X now. At least I thought I was going to do that. Here we go. Most recent episode, Brett Favre on crack. That'd be Nick Mullins, who was better yesterday, but not that great. Purple Mafia episode 418, Brett Favre on crack, recruited by Malcolm McSween out of Southern California. Mad Martin says, over the years of suffering, purple heartache, you've become my Vikings therapist. Keep up the great work. Thank you so much. Yes, I appreciate that very much. That's an absolute honor, actually, because, yeah, I mean, you know, both of us have seen a lot. I mean, a lot. So you probably, yeah, I'm guessing you remember the NFC Championship game in 87. So, yeah, I mean, that's a tough one to swallow. It's been nothing but heartbreak pretty much ever since then. Mad Martin, oh, this made me laugh when it popped up in my notifications. Brett Favre on crack. To be fair, it does sum up Nick Mullins. It does. Yep, it does. And we were agreeing on something. I did also release a video game flashback. I'm going to retweet it coming up here. Deja Vu on the NES. So in case you like retro video games, Deja Vu, I just finished that one to quote-unquote ring in the new year. And this was when the Detroit Lions ended up not beating the Cowboys. I was like, can't stand the Cowboys. That'll never change. Mad Martin says 100% agree. That was gut-wrenching to watch. That was the Lions. Yep. And as I was saying, looks like our season is coming down to the Steelers beating the Sea Chickens. And they did, which was nice. And I was saying rematch of the 2005 Super Bowl. Okay, yeah, Malcolm McSween making fun of me a little bit. I was saying can't stand the Chiefs, just can't stand them, yuck. And he said, explain it again with those nuggies. Yep, oh, yeah. So understand there. So appreciate that one. Dave Hickey coming in out of Iowa. Yes, sir, Dave Hickey, another shitty game. Jaren Hall looks like crap. Two turnovers, throwing behind guys in the first half. But the O-line sucks. He's got no time. Yeah, and Christian Darrisaw was definitely disappointing yesterday. He could have been a Ponder Memorial. It's one of his worst games as a Viking, honestly. Wonder if he's hurt, too. Dave Hickey responding to the Chiefs thing. He said, Chiefs have looked very vulnerable this year, so I think the Ravens are going to come out of the AFC. That's a pretty good chance. I'm a fan of John Harbaugh, but I can't stand his brother Jim. I can understand all of that. Yeah, John Harbaugh is pretty good, and he's definitely stuck around. Maybe he's going to get another Super Bowl out of it. But he's one of those coaches that has really been a survivor in the NFL. 87's on the screen. I'm trying to cover the screen with my hand. I am so sick of looking at him. I am so sick of him. Yep. So, yep. totally understand that, though. And we'll see how things turn out with Baltimore there. Definitely a huge threat in the AFC. I would be rooting for San Francisco in that Super Bowl, though, because, you know, last time I was kind of sort of rooting for Baltimore for similar reasons. Like, you kind of feel for John. You kind of thought, like, Jim's getting all the accolades, but John probably deserves more. And he wound up getting the championship out of it. So, totally understand that. Also, the fact Anquan Boldin was on the Baltimore Ravens, I was a huge fan of him forever. Mad Martin, watching this game on delay, glad I did not stay up for it. Just reached halftime, the D is toast, as to be expected, with key players out. Yeah, that's true. And the offense playing a rookie at quarterback, no surprise, and naturally two turnovers in the half. I expect we now finish last in the North. Yep, with a 7-10 record, yep. I was kind of predicting last week about, 7-10, yeah. I didn't know about last, but yeah, now we might. Now we might. Now we absolutely might. In fact, we're a pretty good chance we will. Mad Martin says they are seriously light at the wide receiver spot. I believe this is the Chiefs, right? I was bitching about the Chiefs, and yep. Why is it freezing on me? He was saying they are seriously light at the wide receiver spot, but but know how to play football in the playoffs. Really hope our former offensive coordinator takes the Browns all the way. That might be who he's talking about, the Browns. Okay, not the Chiefs. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Nope. He's talking about the Chiefs, yes. Yeah, I really hope the Browns go all the way, too. I think that'd be awesome. Maybe we were talking about Baltimore. I'm sorry. My mind is going all over the place. Probably Baltimore, actually. I'm sorry. Dave Martin was saying, brutally bad first half, 23-3 at home, 2-6 at home. Yeah, it's freaking awful. I believe that's the worst record ever for at home. Even in those 3-13 years, they won the three home games. Perhaps they turn it around in the second half. And no, they didn't. Matt Martin says, and KOC goes back to the TNT stick at the start of the second. Oh, God. Thankfully, he wasn't as bad, but he wasn't good either. He wasn't really particularly good either, but slightly better than Jaren Hall, who clearly, you know, that interception wasn't his fault, was it? Yeah. It's like you watch it again. It's like, that wasn't his fault. Guy, you know, it wasn't a great throw, you know, but catch the damn ball. Your hands were on it. Johnny. But, yeah, like we might say in the second half, it's over Johnny Munt. So now to the wrap things up a bit here as we head to the Instagram. Purple Mafia Show, I think there's only one comment, and that's it. It's pretty quick here. Or is it like two? So the in-game thread, which I was extremely late on, I'm sure most Viking fans are like, hell with it. It's New Year's. It's such a great time. No, it isn't. It's overrated. In-game thread, Mark Carlson says, watching the game with many family in Manitoba, horrid, embarrassing, and 10 other things. Yep, that's for sure. And that's it. Yep, so the Instagram very light this week. I was super late in posting, and plus it's New Year's Eve, and who knows what people are doing with hanging out with other people. So, wow, what horrible tackling by the Eagles. Oof, as that game's kind of showing. Well, there's Mr. Ben, but don't break himself. Funny how he's there, and he gave up like 9 million yards to the Eagles in the Super Bowl before being hired by the Detroit Lions. God, it's that same guy. That's funny. The former Matt Patricia. Yep, I almost forgot his name. Patricia. Bend but don't break, boy. They bent but didn't break. And that's ironic how he wound up on the Eagles of all teams. It's kind of funny. With that said, we're kind of at a crossroads again. We're going to have to wait and see, but we'll get back to that next week. I think I've babbled enough and all of that, but hope you had a happy New Year, this and that. I've made my feelings known about how I feel about New Year's. I'm not a huge fan. Christmas is better, that type of thing. It's mostly the way people go crazy over New Year and barely acknowledge Christmas. It's frustrating. That type of thing. With that said, again, I hope we did have a happy New Year. Hopefully this team can head in the right direction, get a nice draft pick, and it's the right draft pick, that type of thing. Wishing all of you a wonderful time. The gold star of the show before I walk away is definitely Mad Martin. Dave Hickey bringing in the silver, and Malcolm and Mark Carlson bringing in the bronze star. Again, thank you guys so much for a wonderful 2023. We do have one more game to talk about next week and all that good stuff. Please put a positive rating, 5-star ratings on Apple Podcasts or any other apps that allow you to do that. The algorithms really help this show, and we really need it. You know, we really need it. There was some damage done to it years ago, and that damage has not really been healed because there haven't been a whole lot of ratings lately. So hopefully, out there, the lack of algorithms make the show less and less visible, which doesn't help. So if you could, that would really help. That would help the show in a lot. Those of you that are fans of the show. With that said, again, have a great day, have a great week, and we'll be back next week to assess the damage, I guess you could say.